Today on The Journey.
If you are only modeling for your children acts of compassion, those are like one-time off events. They're not bad, but they're events. What we're trying to teach our children is the character trait of compassion.
In a world increasingly angry, how can we instill a sense of empathy in our children? Moreover, what will that look like in their lives? Today, Ron Moore and his special guest offer some practical guidance that will mold merciful children for a merciless world. Before that, I want you to know about Living Grounded. It's a fully illustrated, interactive study of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Living Grounded is available at ronmoore.org for a gift of any amount. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for a discussion they've titled Compassion on the Journey.
Well, welcome to The Journey. We're involved in a special series of programs on parenting. And joining me in this series is Dr. Bob Fredo, who has worked with children and parents for over 30 years. Dr. Fredo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ron. It's great to be here.
Bob, we've called this series Imprint Parenting. That's based on a passage in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, because this is really where the Old Testament talks about the importance of modeling and mentoring in this responsibility and great privilege of parenting.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
So these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, really remind us that parenting is not a compartment of our life, but parenting is a 24/7 responsibility. In this Old Testament passage, it tells us we must be the model and the mentor. We must show and tell. And we have chosen five characteristics: respect, responsibility, honesty, compassion, and integrity. In past programs, we've talked about respect, we've talked about responsibility and honesty, and today we want to talk about compassion. So, Bob, let's drill down a little bit on this aspect of compassion. There are a lot of people who think that a person is just born compassionate. That's what they are. You don't really teach it, but that's ingrained in a person's fiber. How would you respond to the person who says you're born with compassion, you don't really teach it?
I think I can agree with that just based upon my own experiences with people. They just seem to have that as a spiritual gift, a part of their very nature. And at the same time, there is some evidence that would support that in research, even studies done on babies would show that babies would respond in a sympathetic way to the crying of other babies. At the same time, we also know with a lot of the research that's been done through initiatives like service learning, that compassion can be learned as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful tool when we think about modeling and mentoring for parents in terms of giving our children opportunities to not only care but demonstrate acts of compassion so that they can experience that and then learn and grow from it.
So we're talking today about compassion and how to build this into the lives of your children. And as we've said, some people are just more inclined to acts of compassion and acts of mercy, but that doesn't let anyone off the hook. We are all to be compassionate people. Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune, but it's also accompanied by a desire to do something. So we like to talk about compassion being the first part of being a merciful person, the gift of mercy. So compassion plus action equals mercy. You could be a very compassionate person, but never do anything and never really move into the aspect of being merciful.
So true. And as you referred to in the past, my years as a school principal, it was something we really tried to impress upon our teaching staff and support staff, mm-hmm. and also our students, that merely caring, while it's great to care, it's really sort of hollow if you're not acting and doing something about it. And so in the schools, we try to use that as a framework to teach about how to respond when you see someone not being treated with kindness or even when bullying occurs. Mm-hmm. So compassion without action, simply caring.
Today, to teach this characteristic from Scripture, we're going to go to a well-known passage of Scripture, the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. The experts of the law were always trying to test Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, what's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." And then the second commandment, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And again, Jesus was not teaching that you gain salvation by works. He was setting this guy up to show him that there was a commandment that he probably wasn't fulfilling like he should, to demonstrate that he needed salvation. He couldn't fulfill the law on his own. And Jesus begins to tell this story of the Good Samaritan. In response to the teacher of the law, he says, "So I'm to love my neighbor as myself, but who's my neighbor? The guy down the road? The guy next door? I mean, I have so many neighbors. Who is a neighbor?" Jesus never lets him off the hook. He begins to tell the story. So let me read the first part of this story in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." Bob, you were in school teaching and principal for a long time. In the social environment, no doubt you've seen a lot of kids going through some challenging times. While they didn't have maybe physical bruises on them, there was some verbal abuse. Kids are going to go through challenging times.
Sometimes those emotional bruises are the ones that leave the most difficult marks to heal. They're somewhat invisible, but those with compassionate hearts have opportunities to really do a lot of good. It's sort of fertile ground for mission work in the schools, because it's the very nature of schools is so social. Mm-hmm. And with children trying to find their way and fit in and make friends and sort of just get along, that's a very important part of life in school.
So here's a guy who is physically beaten, and Jesus says a priest happened to be going down the road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. It's easy to do that, isn't it? We're all busy, and it's easy to see a need. Now, again, this isn't a saving the world need. This is a guy that's right in front of him, and he's beaten, and he's half dead, and the priest walks right in the path, but he goes around the other side. It's easy, isn't it, as parents, and our kids are watching, to walk by needs and kind of bypass them, walk around, go on the other side, and our kids see that. That must not be important for me to show compassion to that person that's obviously hurting in front of me, because we're taking a trip around him.
That's true. Even if you're, as a manner of speaking, off to save the world, what people see or what a child would see was that you passed up someone in need, and they can't interpret what your intent was and what you're off to do, but you pass up a need right in front of you.
So the priest does that. And then the Levite does the same thing. So too, a Levite, kind of an assistant priest, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on this side. So again, Jesus is telling this story so vividly. There's an obvious need right in front of you. And the question that Jesus keeps asking here is, what are you going to do about it? And he shows these two religious guys. They pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. So a Samaritan in that day was a hated race. He knew what it was like to be abused, but here this man takes pity on this person in the road. That had to stop the hearers in their tracks, because they didn't expect that man, of all people, to stop and take pity. A person who understands the abuse, they understand the pain. A lot of times, they're the ones who really stop and show compassion, aren't they?
The thing that comes to mind for me is that in our daily lives, and you think about with our children going to school or just being involved in the community somehow, it's not very often, hopefully, that we come along such a person who's bloodied alongside of the road. So what are the implications for parents? really, when talking with our children in relationship with them and asking them what's going on in their lives and, you know, how is the team doing or how's your class, and sort of mining for information and opportunities. And as opportunities come up, to reinforce the importance of doing something about the caring feeling that you have mm-hmm. for someone who might be having a difficult time, that's a great opportunity to teach the importance of compassion. Kind of reminds me of the saying, we inspect what we expect. So it's a matter of talking with our children in terms of how they should conduct themselves in school and transfer that over to life. There's an opportunity there when they say this person seemed like they were feeling down, and we just sort of do some mentoring and coaching, say, well, did you get a chance to ask him what was going on?
As parents, we have the conversation about the cafeteria, right? Because there's always a kid sitting by himself in the cafeteria, or sitting by herself. We can ask them about interaction on the bus, if they ride a bus, because there's always someone that maybe is sitting alone on a bus. And explain why we're doing that, why we need to reach out. Now, that always takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice of time. It might take some social sacrifice, being with your own friends. But that's what Jesus is teaching in this story. He says, the Samaritan, as he traveled, and he took pity on the man, he went to him and he bandaged his wounds. The Samaritan was in a hurry as well. He had places to go. He bandaged his wounds. He poured on oil and wine. He used his oil, his wine. He probably didn't have bandages with him, so he took some of his cloak or some of his clothes and made bandages out of them. And then he put the man on his own donkey. He walked, and he took him to an inn and took care of him. So, Bob, a tremendous reminder that even if a child has an inclination to compassion, compassion plus action, mercy, involves sacrifice. We have to step out of our comfort zone. We have to do something.
We do. And as you're reading through that and discussing it, it really brings to mind some situations in school that I can remember where I was really inspired by how some students responded to help and support other students at the risk of the loss of some social capital, if you will. The idea of I might lose some popularity here, but I'm going to leave my popular group here and I'm going to go spend some time with this student who seems to be set apart or left out of a situation, mm-hmm. or inviting someone to be on a team or including someone. You know, sometimes we think of acts of compassion as something more grand and glorious, like saving someone from a dangerous situation or something right. like that. But sometimes the ones that are hardest are the ones that are little seen and not widely known. You don't get much credit for it, but you're not really thinking about what you might lose, but just what's the right thing to do.
So as parents, we're models and mentors. So we're modeling this. But we're also teaching our kids to do that. And I think as parents, sometimes we forget that we need to help our kids get these things instilled into their lives early on. It's never too young to teach our kids and model for them this aspect of compassion.
And as we're talking about all these character traits, sometimes there's a very thin line from one character trait to the other, because this brings to mind the idea of responsibility. It's not just a nice thing to do to care. It's not just a better than nice thing to do to act on that caring. Mm-hmm. It's even a responsibility that we have to our fellow students, our fellow citizens, to try to look out for their well-being.
So we have the Samaritan. He takes care of this man. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins. He gave it to the innkeeper. He said, look after him. And then when I return, I'm not just going to do one act of compassion and then take off. I'm coming back. When I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have had. So talk about that, Bob. Compassion is not like, oh, I did my good deed and now I'm off to something else. Compassion kind of stays in the game.
A lot of application for that in our daily lives. It's one thing mm-hmm. to say, I gave at the office.
Yeah.
It's another thing to follow through and sustain that caring in terms of the relationship that you have in that whole process. The single act is one thing, and you know, Jesus is so great at illustrating this. If we didn't get the first part, he tells again about how he came back and he mm-hmm. followed through and he makes sure that he met all his obligations to those he involved in providing the care and also continued his relationship in supporting the person in need.
This is such an important point here that Jesus gives, because this separates an act of compassion from a character trait of compassion. So if you are only modeling for your children acts of compassion, those are like one-time off events. They're not bad, but they're events. What we're trying to teach our children is the character trait of compassion. It's not just one thing that we do. It's who we are. We're not a person who does compassionate acts. We are a compassionate person. So Jesus asked the teacher of the law here, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Now, remember the teacher's question, who is my neighbor? Jesus turned that upside down, and he said, who was a neighbor? It's not who is my neighbor, it's am I being a neighbor? And of course, the man said, well, the one who had mercy on him, the one who had compassion plus action. And then Jesus said, well, then go and do likewise. Demonstrate that there's a change in your heart by the things that you do. That's a tremendous story that Jesus told regarding compassion. And Bob, what I'd like to do is just to wrap this up by drawing some application from that story. The first one, religious profession without action is pretense. We can talk all day about being a believer or going to church and all that, but if there's not an action, if there's not teeth to it, it's pretense. And our kids spot that from a mile away, don't they?
They sure do. Some of the shortest and most simple sayings that we're most familiar with, such as talk is cheap, ring true, don't they? Don't tell me, show me.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words. Right. My mom said that 100 times, probably because I needed to hear it 100 times. But I guarantee you, your children from early on can spot a phony. They can see right through a person who's talking the talk but not walking the walk. Here's another one. You don't have to show compassion to everyone in the world, just those lying in front of you, beaten and bruised. Bob, I think that's important because today we have 24/7 cable news, and we know when there's an earthquake in India, we see people hurt, we see people dying, we see people without homes. There's just all these opportunities to do compassionate acts. And so parents saying, man, there's so many opportunities out there. If I'm to be a parent and do the things I have to do to support my family, I don't have time for all these compassionate acts. You don't have to do all these compassionate acts. It's just when the guy, the person, the situation is right in front of you and you say, I either have to deal with this or have to walk around it. That's what Jesus calls us to do.
Right. It's the next opportunity that you have. No one person can do everything, but everybody can do something. There should be some evidence that you have that compassion in your heart.
So if you're saying, I don't even know where to start with these compassionate acts, just ask the Lord, Lord, show me to start. And I promise you, just like this Samaritan, there's going to be someone beaten and bruised in your path. And right there, you can say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Now I can demonstrate what it means to care for that person, make the sacrifices I need to make, but your kids are watching. Acts of compassion will cost you something. Bob, is there anything worthwhile that doesn't involve sacrifice?
A lot of times we think right away about our money or something else that we value, but time is such a valuable commodity, and it seems like people more and more are pressed for time. Even though we have so many conveniences to save us time, we somehow have more struggles with time. So a lot of times I think that's an obstacle for people and just trying to manage everything, be everything to everyone, and just do everything in such a way that it's satisfying, that time is the commodity that is hardest to give up for people.
There are some people, and I've seen this, I know you've seen it, and they do try to save the world, but in the process of saving the world, they lose their family. They're out dealing with all these things and helping people, but neglecting their kids. So compassion starts at home. We need to make sure that we're demonstrating compassion to our children, and we're helping them in the process of learning what it means to be compassionate. All right, one more here. Acts of compassion do not expect reward or praise. The Samaritan didn't expect to get written up in the paper. He didn't expect a participation trophy. No one else knew about it. He did it because it was the right thing to do. Bob, I believe that we live in a day where you just sign up for a team, you get the uniform, you show up for the games, and you get a trophy. And there's an expectation there that whatever I do, I got to get rewarded for it. Well, acts of true compassion don't expect reward or praise. How do we teach that to our kids?
Well, if we let the trophy represent something of value over what the experience was, and don't spend the time in teaching those who are participating, namely our children, the value of the participation and what we learn through it. And then if there is a trophy at the end of the year, even if you're not the champion of the league, what does that trophy represent? So it's not the act of having a participation trophy. It's more of what do we want you to learn and what does this represent?
So teaching our children that there's more to this than just getting the reward at the end, and certainly with compassion, acts of mercy. It might be as simple as taking a plate of cookies to a person who's shut in across the street. You don't get a reward for that, but the internal satisfaction that gives you that you've done something that God looks down on and smiles, that's the trophy. Let's just get very practical. Opportunities to model compassion. Wherever you are, wherever you're listening, there are opportunities within a mile of you to model compassion. So talk about some of these things, and let's wrap this up with some practical things parents can do.
Don't have to look very far for opportunities, do we? Through our own networking, even within our own family and within our home, there are needs that can be addressed, but a lot of ways to make connections through the schools and other organizations that are common to most communities. Mm-hmm. Some of the opportunities that come to mind are just working with local Salvation Army. And all these don't have to be faith-based. They're just people-based and compassion-based, just opportunities to learn. Some can be spontaneous and some can be planned that you do as a family. Nursing homes are plentiful in most communities and very accessible and provide a lot of opportunities to spend time with people who value that time a great deal.
And all you have to do is go in, talk to the person there in charge, let them know your family would like to bring gifts to individuals, and that person may tell you, hey, here are four or five people who never get a call, they never get a visitor. You don't have to bring a gift, just to talk with them. And what a tremendous experience that is for your children. So Salvation Army, as you said, nursing homes. There are missions by you, homeless shelters.
It's a challenge for parents today, especially in homes where you have plenty. It's hard sometimes for our children to experience the joy of receiving compassion and being on the other end of that to understand how important that is and how much it's valued. When you're always satisfied and you always have plenty, it's hard for you to experience the satisfaction of having a need filled. So allowing our children to experience some challenges gives opportunities to help them to learn. Taking them to a homeless shelter and having them serve those who regularly don't get enough to eat, and understanding that this is a real need that people have, is one way to at least approximate that.
Find a local food bank or local Meals on Wheels and ask how you can be involved. But these acts of compassion build a character of compassion.
And Ron and Bob will continue their discussion of show and tell parenting in our next broadcast. Please stay with us for a preview of that conversation. Are you living a life of spiritual transformation? Or do you feel stalled in a dry and lukewarm faith? Well, you can take steps now to energize your walk with Jesus and leave religious pretense behind. That happens when God's Word takes up residence in the deepest recesses of your soul. Start that journey today with Ron Moore's 12-chapter interactive study titled Living Grounded. Within the 242 pages of this handsome, full-color book, you'll discover the foundational truths of Christianity. Among the many important topics explained in Living Grounded are how to know God's will, how to study the Bible, and how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Living Grounded is available for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Bob for a preview of our next broadcast.
Just think about taking respect and responsibility and honesty and compassion, and then tying this up with this word that's used a lot. It's a character trait. It talks about wholeness. It talks about oneness between what we know and what we believe and what we say and what we do. Bob, it's this word, integrity. And if there's one thing we want, it's we want our kids to grow up to be men and women of integrity.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a copy of Ron's interactive study, Living Grounded, is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Whether you're a new Christian or a believer who wants to make your spiritual foundation sure, you'll grow in Christ with Living Grounded. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Bob next time as we walk together on the journey.